Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Paul Ogando.
Amen and amen. You know, that day that Pastor Antonio was sharing about, I think it was a challenging day for all of us. And, you know, a lot of times as the planner of the trip, I take on a little bit of pressure sometimes because I want everybody to have just a great time in everything they do. And so I felt there was a lot of pressure, things to do. And so that day was just very hectic. Just a lot of things happening. And I just felt like, man, we're not really going to be able to do the things that I want to do. And so we're having issues. I wanted the guys to eat right in physics. I wanted to be okay. As, you know, leading the team, I want to make sure everybody's at their best. And so when all this happened, we went to the prayer time and we all went back to our hotel room. I was still a little disappointed about some things that have happened. We couldn't do the construction that we were going to do the day prior because it rained. There was just a lot of things happening. And so I was trying to keep my cool. You know, nobody knew any of that stuff. I share with Reverend Beth and Pastor Antonio later, but you know, I just felt like, come on, I want things to function right. I want to make sure these guys get the maximum effect for the effort that they're doing. And so I'm sitting in my room, and you know what's funny? What happens is when we go through pressures and trouble, it brings up other stuff. Are you with me? So stuff that had nothing to do with the trip, all of a sudden I started thinking, well, this is going wrong at home and I'm having to solve this issue at church. And so all these things started popping up. So I'm trying to text my wife to, you know, she's my friend. So I'm like, oh, I'm gonna call a friend and just whine, you know, across the world and just honey. But she was busy, so she couldn't, you know, really pay attention to my whining. And so I was like, all right, fine, I'll go do your thing. I'm here in the mission field dying for Jesus. In an air conditioner hotel room. So I'm just there and I'm like, oh my gosh, what's gonna do? But I started singing a song that I learned when I was a young boy in Spanish, but in English, it's an artist from way, way behind called Steve Green. And he wrote a song based on Philippians 1. And then when he talks about that, God will fulfill the work that he began in you. And so I'm singing the words of this song, and God reminded me this because God said a word to me into my heart that was so powerful. And he says, I had to say to myself, I will fulfill my purpose. I will fulfill my purpose. And so many of us got to know that exactly phrase, that we will fulfill the purpose that God has placed in our life. Because a lot of times when pressure comes, when frustration comes, we feel, I am not going to complete the mission that God has put in my hand. Somehow I'm going to fall short of that God has given, whether to be a businessman, a mother, or a father, or just general in life. We feel we're going to fall short of this process. And therefore, there's no way I'm going to complete that with what God has given me. And that's how I felt. I felt overwhelmed with all these things in my life. And so when I began to sing the song, I'm just going to read you what the song says. And if it connects with you in an area, great. But I believe it will speak to somebody because it spoke to me. And again, I was saying it in Spanish, so I have to look it up in English because I learned it in Spanish. And in English, it says the following. It says, if the struggle you're facing is slowly replacing your hope with despair, or the process is long and you're losing your song in the night, you can be sure that the Lord has his hand on you, safe and secure. He will never abandon you. You are his treasure, and he finds his pleasure in you. And when I started saying those things, and then he goes and goes into the verse of Philippians. And this is what it says in Philippians 1:6. I'll just read it for you. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, the Apostle Paul said, listen, doesn't matter what happened, I am convinced that God is going to complete that which he began in you until you meet Jesus or he comes and gets you. It'll be finished some way, somehow. And many of us tonight, watching online in any area, need to say to ourselves and believe ourselves, I believe is a word for the now, that we have to know that, hey, listen, what God began, he intends to complete that work in your life. Because many of us, through the pressures of life, will begin to abandon the walk of life and that which is doing, because we assume that God can only do it which in the reference mind or which in the process I have seen for my own life. Are you with me? I am a planner in my life and just my personality. So I always see things through the process. I don't deviate a lot. I go home the same way. I sleep on the same face out of the bed. I wake up around the same time. I like my coffee the same way. I don't do a lot of variations in my life. That's just my personality. I just don't vary a lot. My wife is more artistic. You know, she likes different things. She'll have tea one day. She'll have just milk another day. I was like, it's too complicated. The same thing just kind of works for me, you know? But it's so interesting because when those hiccups come to your life, you're assuming, hey, this thing is about to be to end and I'm not going to complete what God has put in my life. I want you to know tonight that you will fulfill the purpose of God in your life because that is His desire and that is exactly what He wants for your life. As a matter of fact, the Word of God is so amazing because when we talk about King David, I'm going to share a little bit of two different people, but King David is so interesting because when we hear the word King David in the Bible, we think mighty warrior, which he was. We think the greatest king Israel ever was, which he was. We think, man, the lineage of Jesus, which he is in. I mean, this guy is amazing. Yet, he himself found himself questioning the calling of God upon his life. I'll read it for you in 1 Samuel 27:1 in the New Living Translation said, but David kept thinking to himself. Here's David. God gives him an anointing to be king. He's ready to take on the kingdom, but there is a king named Saul, and Saul absolutely hates the guy and wants him dead because he believed he's going to take over his position, which was the truth. God had abandoned Saul, and Saul wanted nothing to do with David and wanted to kill him. Yet, David knew God said, hey, David, I've anointed you, and you will be the next king. So things got so bad that David said to himself, there's no way I'm gonna make it to what God said. There's just no way. I heard what God said. He said it through Samuel, the most powerful prophet in the nation. But I'm telling you that what I'm living now, there's no way. And many of us feel the same way. In a lot of situations in our life, we say, I know what God said to me, and I've heard the messages, but what I'm living like right now, I don't think is going to happen, Pastor. And I'm here to say to you that God has an intention to help you fulfill exactly what He told you and exactly what He said about your life, because He has written in His Word for each one of us tonight. David said to himself, someday Saul is going to get me. David said to himself, see, when we self-talk, listen to this. You're not crazy if you talk to yourself about the things of God. All right, let me put a disclaimer on it, okay? It's so interesting because you have to say those things that God is saying about yourself. Otherwise, you would hear your own self talk and believe the things that you're saying about yourself. I know that's a big lesson I'm learning through the last few years because David kept thinking. David was sitting there by himself under pressure at night, not being able to sleep with the TV on, watching all the bad infomercials, all the craziness. David is just up thinking to himself, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. This is going to end. It's not going to end well. We're a medicated society because people keep thinking to themselves, there's no way I'm going to finish what I believe God has called me to do. Can you imagine that? Imagine that. We're a medicated society because people no longer think the goodness of God for themselves. David kept thinking to himself, it's going to be over soon. This guy's going to get me. And so he runs off to his enemies. It was so bad that David moved to the neighborhood with the opposing gang. That's what he did. And even that gang was the Philistines was like, hey, listen, man, you've been here long enough, but we know you're not from us, so you gotta go. I mean, that's how bad it got. He was hanging out with the other crowd, and they didn't want David. David ends up in a cave hiding there for years. The point is that David was absolutely frustrated. Then I find this psalm. Look what David said about himself. Psalm 138, and if you go there, mark your Bibles there, because I think it's going to bless you later on if you mark it. Psalm 138, verse 7 and verse 8, I have it here on the screens for you. It says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. I love David. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. David is saying, listen, I don't care what's going on. You're going to get your hand in my trouble, and you're going to get me out of that situation for better in my life. And we got to say that. And then he says an amazing thing. Verse 8, this is the verse that got to me when I was praying there. It says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Now, when you read it, you may not understand what David is saying because we don't speak that way. Look at the New Living Translation, Psalm 138:8 says, "The Lord will work out his plans for my life." David said about himself in Psalm 138 New Living Translation, "The Lord will work out his plans for my life." Can we read that together tonight? Say it out loud. 1, 2, and 3. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. David had to say to himself, listen, I don't care what's going on. God is going to figure out how to make it happen and make it good for myself. And so I want to encourage you tonight in this next few minutes that you focus yourself exactly on that. That you say to yourself, you know what? I don't know how it's going to happen, but the Lord will work out his plans for my life one way or the other. He'll make it happen. And I want to encourage you tonight, if you feel like things are just going the wrong way, backwards in a business, in every area, things are not working right, just like we're in a position in our own team where things weren't working out right. We went to do good, and so some of us were getting physically ill, we were lack of sleep, just so many things coming that just did not allow things to go smooth, quote unquote. But the reality is that God had a plan that he was going to work out for our lives and for those in Nicaragua, and it worked out great for all of us. We learned an amazing thing through pressure, because the main prayer that people like to do is people want God to remove pressure from us, but really God wants to use it to build something in us. Here's what's amazing. In the book of Acts, it says this about David. It says, "And David served his generation." In another version, it says, "And David fulfilled God's plans for his generation." So the guy who thought Saul's going to kill me, then he said about himself, "The mighty hand of God will save me and he'll work it out." Then later in the New Testament, we find out that God did work it out and he did serve his generation for greatness in many ways. Because you and I need to be convinced of something, that God, here's the one, that God is more committed than you think to see you fulfill your purpose. God is more committed than you think to see you fulfill your purpose. This is so crucial for you and I to really get that in our lives, because when you're committed and when he's committed to see you fulfill it, in the end, we're bringing glory to God. That's the whole plan. God is not interested just in fulfilling my plan to make me feel good. He's interested in showing his plan in your life so he gets the glory. So you point back and say, "I couldn't do it if he wasn't involved. I was part of the wrong neighborhood. I was in the wrong relationship. Oh, my relationship, my marriage was going down, but God came and saved it and restored us to greatness, to do great things. My children were not so walking in the Lord, but he came in and absolutely recaptured my family once again for him." Why? Because he's so interested in seeing you succeed in your life for his purposes. And we have to say that about ourselves. Listen, church, I believe now more than ever that unless we believe God is involved in those areas of our life, we will walk away from the Lord, because the enemy has designed pressure exactly for that situation, so that you get frustrated, offended, disappointed, and more you start doubting the goodness of God. And you're going to say to yourself one day, "Something's gonna get me, and I'm not gonna do what God has asked me to do." And I'm here to tell you, when they bury me, I hope they're right. He fulfills his purpose for his generation. That's all I want, and that's all I'm asking the Lord to do, that he can say those things about us and about you tonight. There's a story in the Bible in Genesis 28. Go there, Genesis 28. And you know this story, and I want to give you just a quick rundown of this story, so that tonight you get what God is asking of us to do. All right, is anybody getting anything tonight out there? You guys are quiet. You're either getting something or more confused than you've ever been. We're talking about a guy named Jacob. This guy's so interesting. You know his story. I'll give you like the really fast note of the story of Jacob. Jacob has a brother named Esau. They are the kids of, they are the grandchildren of Abraham, and so the children of Isaac. And so these guys come in a lineage that is going to bring the generations of the Lord. The issue is that the Bible describes two different brothers. Esau was a man's man. He was hairy. He was a hunter. He was the love of his father. Jacob was totally the opposite. Fair-skinned. The brother knew how to cook and was always with his mom in the kitchen. That's what the Word of God says. Don't look at me like I'm making it up, okay? So he's described as a total opposite guy. You you know, not what you would pin, not what you would point as, that's the chosen. Because we tend, remember what the Lord says? People look at the outside, but I look at the heart. People get focused just on what they see, but God saw something else. He was, even though he began his work and his life as a deceiver, somebody who would kind of make a deal with you to get an advantage on you, he ended his life being named Israel. We'll see it tonight. Because God, he wrestled with God until he obtained the promise of God upon his life. And all of us are part of that Israel descendant. All of us are part of that connection. And we have to fight, did I even dare say that word? We have to fight in order to obtain that which God has called us to fulfill on the earth. Are you with me tonight? We have to maintain that. So Jacob, you know, gets his brother to, one day his brother goes out to hunt and Jacob wants to be blessed. Jacob is like, but in the word of God, the firstborn is the one that would bless. And so Esau comes back and said, man, I'm hungry and smells good around here. And Jacob was, yeah, I can give you some of my stew, but if you want this stew, you're going to have to let my father bless me. Give me your birthright. And he's like, yeah, I mean, what am I going to do with that? Can't really buy anything with it. That's fine. You can have it. Give me some food. The guy eats the food. You know the story. Dad blesses Jacob, and Esau is hot. He's mad. He's going to kill him. He's going to do all kinds of stuff. Mom gets in between the boys. No, you go here. You go there. Tells Jacob, hey, go to visit my brother. Get out of here. God's going to help you there. Jacob goes on a journey, has to leave his family because his brother wants him dead. Nothing to do with it because the blessing has come upon him. And once the blessing was confessed, that was it. It was Jacob's to have. But Jacob wasn't quite connected with the Lord either. And in this journey, he arrives to this town. And when he gets to this town, this guy is so tired, says it was hot, tired, it was nighttime. He lays down and he uses two rocks as a pillow. That's how tired he is. I don't recall the last day where I said, man, that rock looks so comfortable. I'm gonna buy me one, you know, whatever. Temper rock, whatever they call it. But he didn't buy any of those. So in verse 13, he's talking to the Lord in a dream. And this is what happened. It says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham. What happened in this dream is he's laying down, and in his dream he sees a ladder. And in the ladder says there's angels coming up and down, and there's a connection between heaven and earth through this ladder. So the Lord comes down and talks to him. And it says, and stood by and says, I am the Lord, the God of your father, and the God of Isaac. And basically saying, I'm the Lord of your grandfather, but Abraham was considered the father of the nation, and of Isaac, your dad. The land in which you lie, which you're laying down, I will give you and your descendants. Now listen to this. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. So many you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, those to come, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We're blessed because of this promise. Now listen to this. Listen, this is so amazing. Verse 15, behold. So God is saying, let me just tell you a bunch of stuff. And God said, hey, listen, boy, pay attention. Pay attention. That's what behold means. The Lord said, oh, this is a good thing. He's probably like, oh my God. And then he says, Pay attention. I'm going to tell you something. Here's what he says. I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Listen, if you ever want to guarantee a contract, have God say I 7 times in the same phrase. I mean, it was a done deal. God is saying, there's nothing you got to do. All I'm asking you to do is you need to trust me that someday I have a purpose for you. And one day you will come back to this place because I'm telling you, you're going to do something amazing because I'm going to be involved in your life. And I'm going to make sure that the things that go on in your life, I am going to take you to exactly I told you where I will take you. And that is the word of God for us today, that he wants to fulfill the purpose in my life that he has decided that I would have and do it and complete my life. And we have to believe that. We have to believe that. Let me tell you, it wasn't easy for Jacob. You know what happened with Jacob? He went through an absolute craziness. Showed up at his uncle's. His uncle made him work like crazy. Fall in love with one of the girls. Uncle says, hey, work for me 7 years. You get the girl. He worked 7 years. The day of the wedding, they filled the tent. There was no lights back then. He gets into the tent. There's a girl in his bed, and they had fun. He wakes up. It was the wrong girl. And he was like, what in the world? I'm married to this girl. This ain't my wife. This is not what I work for. And the guy was like, well, you got to work another 7 years. You want the actual girl. Oh, my, can you imagine this? This is craziness. I don't know. I always tell our Spanish service, I don't know what you watch telenovela. Read the Old Testament. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, there's stuff there that's just craziness. So he works another 7 years and gets the girl. They have kids, but the girl he loves can get pregnant, is having a lot of issues. I mean, the guy goes through insane. His boss, his uncle chains his salaries up and down all the time, abuses him. He is fed up and tells the Lord, you got to get me out of here. God says, then get out. Pack your family. We're going. And he leaves that place richer than when he got there. I mean, God blesses him tremendously. Here's the issue, and I want to end with this. When you're gonna fulfill your purpose, there'll be so many detours in your walk with God. Jacob went through so much. Here's the position Jacob is in. I can stay at my uncle's and just try to make do with what's happening. Or I can go back to my land and face my brother who wants to kill me. Those were his two choices. Because God told him, you need to go back. So this is so important for us, because we assume that because we're walking in God's destiny, every decision will be simple and easy to understand. And it is not. But because God said, I will help you and I will keep you and I will lead you exactly to where you're supposed to be, then our job is to actually go the way of the Lord, because he's gonna make sure we get to the purpose he's already set out for us. And this is important in Christianity. Because it's not the way we add it up, it's the way he adds it up. That's how we're gonna get to his purpose. And so Jacob decided, you know what? This is horrible here. I will face my brother and I'm gonna ask God to help me with this. So he goes this way. As he's approaching the river before crossing over to his brother's land, his dad's land, he divides his family. Say, you take all the kids, all the servants, you guys go this way, you go this way. I will cross first. Because if my brother comes at me, he'll kill me, but he won't kill my wife and children. And this is how serious this thing was. So he crosses. But on his way there, he has to make a stop in the same land he had an encounter with God. Because when things are hard, the only way you'll re-engage with your purpose is in the presence of the one who gave it to you. And for all of us, God is inviting us. If you feel absolutely disconnected from the purpose he gave you, he's asking you, come back and we're gonna make a deal and we're gonna reaffirm that which I told you. And that is exactly what Jacob did. And these are the words of God, and I'll end with this. Genesis 35, Jacob goes back, he wrestles with the Lord, with the angel of the Lord. You guys already know the story. Then God says the following, says, then God appeared to Jacob again. And when he came from Padan Aram, which was that land where he was, and bless him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name is deceiver. Your name is supplanter. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. Here's a guy who went through absolutely craziness. And God says, I have a purpose for you, man. And today I'm gonna switch your name so that you start walking in that purpose that you've been struggling for. Because Jacob fought for it. Jacob said, I ain't leaving you, God, until you absolutely bless me. Bless me. And you guys already know the story. I won't go into detail. But he changed his name to Israel. This man became the father of the nations. This man became that which we talk about. His name is written in a country representing that which a man fought for, because the purposes of God were to be had in his life. Same is for you and I. He's saying, would you fight? Would you stand? Would you continue? Would you do what I'm asking you to do in order to fulfill the purpose of God in your life? Are you with me, church, tonight? He goes on to say, here's the purpose of God. Verse 12, I'll jump to verse 12 to end. He says, the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I give to you and to your descendants. After you, I give this land. The Lord said, I had a purpose for you. I told your grandfather about it. I told your dad about it. I'm telling you, the purpose I commanded in your life will happen and begins today. And you have to understand that God is more committed than you think to see his purpose be fulfilled in your life. God spoke to you tonight. Give him a hand. So let's pray. Father God, I just invite you tonight in each one of our hearts, Lord. If anybody today is doubting their purpose, their commitment, your commitment into their life, that you would change that and transform that for the good. Beginning tonight, Father, we give you absolutely everything. And we trust that tonight you will fulfill that purpose, that you will work out the plans that are concerning our life beginning tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.